For 236 years, men and women have been fighting and dying for our country. This Memorial Day, remember. Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130.
Welcome back to the special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, along with Brigadier General Neil Leutholt, my co-host. And we're speaking with Jim Finley from the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development. Jim, you started talking about some job fairs. Can you tell me about that?
Sure, Tom. Our big job fair that we do every year, in fact, normally we do this in May, which previously was Hire a Veteran Month, and I believe the new move is to make July Hire a Veteran Month, but we've moved our career fair back to July to accommodate the Red Bulls coming back. And this year's career fair is going to be on July 11th. It's up at the Errol Brown Center, which is where we've had it for the last 6 years. Typically, there's between 80 and 100 employers show up. There's service providers that are there. We get anywhere from 900 to 1,300 veterans that show up. We explain to veterans that the reason employers pay to get into this job fair is because they want to get in front of this large group of veterans because of the skills they bring. Some of the things that we talked about before, the teamwork, the leadership, their technology skills.
This is open to all veterans, Jim?
It's open to all veterans. 11 July at the Errol Brown Center. We're also going to do one in Detroit Lakes on 11 August. There's job fairs being planned in Rochester. I know there's one in June and one in August in Rochester, and we're trying to get one together in Brainerd. And again, you can go to positivelyminnesota.com/veterans. There's a link there. Attend a job fair. Click on that, and that's where all the information will be.
Now, is that a casual event for the veterans?
It's not, Tom. It's an interviewing event. Veterans need to show up like they're going to a job interview. And it's unfortunate when people believe that this is just an opportunity to kind of peruse employers and see who may be there. Employers are looking at this as their first interview.
Jim, it seems to me that soldiers and airmen, because it's not just for soldiers, these job fairs that you put on, ought to recognize that every contact with an employer is a piece of an interview, that every opportunity that you have to do that is one more way you can communicate your professionalism.
That's a great point, General. The fact of the matter is, whether you're out in the grocery store or at a movie or out to dinner someplace, as you're networking, and that is how most people get their jobs, you need to bring your A game. You need to be prepared to talk about the skills that you have. We train veterans and service members to develop what they call a 30-second elevator speech so they can demonstrate value and talk to employers, potential employers, about the things they can bring to their business.
And Jim, if our listeners are employers and they want to find a good veteran to add to their staff, where do they go? How do they do it?
That's positivelyminnesota.com/veterans. And there's also an opportunity for soldiers to and service members to post their resumes on a site called minnesotaworks.net. Employers can post their jobs there. In fact, employers can declare themselves as veteran-friendly employers, and their job order shows up with an American flag next to it. Veterans have the same opportunity, and service members. They can declare themselves as current or former military, and an American flag shows up next to their resume ID number, so employers who call my office every single day can identify the veterans.
We're speaking with Jim Finley from the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development on the special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio. Jim, so at positivelyminnesota.com/veterans, there's a three-step process for employers and a three-step process for veterans.
There is. In fact, the three-step process for veterans is to contact your Minnesota Workforce Center. And again, at that positivelyminnesota.com/veterans website, you can identify those workforce centers. There's a link there. There's also a product or an assessment tool called My Military GPS Life Plan, which is a goal-setting tool. And very important for service members to understand where they're going. They say if you don't know where you're going, you don't know when you get there. So it helps with employment goals and financial goals, personal goals, but it's a key first step. And then also post your resume on minnesotaworks.net. For employers, it is get in touch with your Yellow Ribbon Network in your community, post those jobs on minnesotaworks.net, and then contact a veterans employment rep in the workforce center that can help you through all of that and also help you recruit veterans.
Jim, I want to play one more short clip from the employment roundtable. It was from a retired Lieutenant Colonel Barb O'Reilly, and it was about veterans being employed.
One of the things that we want to help our service members articulate is to sell themselves. A lot of times employers are asking, what did you do to contribute to the success of that mission? And in the military, it's all about we and as a team. So helping our service members to identify and say, I did this, which led to this. And employers are looking at what return on investment they're going to get and how this interview, your potential job candidate, can add to their bottom line. So that's one of those things that we want to help train our service members in, is to sell themselves. We know they've done great things. They've got great skill sets. And it's the disconnect of communicating that to a potential employer.
Jim, a little technical glitch. That wasn't Barb O'Reilly. That was Major Krenz. But I think, Adam, did you find the other clip? All right. But the other clip was about Barb O'Reilly when she was talking about the discipline, the training, the experience, the accelerated activity that our service members get when they serve overseas in a war zone, all the logistics and the teamwork and coming together. When they come back and go to work for an employer in Minnesota, nobody's shooting at it. It's pretty easy to show up on time and put in a good day's work, and a lot different than serving in a war zone.
That's right. And again, a soldier or an employer doesn't have to worry about veterans showing up to work on time. This is something that they learn right from the first day they step off the bus at basic training. The soft skills that I mentioned before are all part of that, and it becomes habit, and they remember those. That's part of the reason they make outstanding employers.
And Jim, some of our listeners today may not be aware, but the Minnesota Military Radio show is on Sunday mornings at 7 a.m. or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. And we've got a new segment that you're helping us with now called Hire Minnesota's Heroes. Can you tell me about that?
That is an opportunity to highlight a specific veteran each week on your show. And so the veterans employment reps around Minnesota are identifying veterans that are interested in participating in this. There's a short bio written on them, the kind of experience and job skills that they learned while they're in the military and what kind of work they're looking for. So we have very, very high hopes for this and that Minnesota employers are listening.
Jim, we're just about out of time. Any last thoughts on hiring our veterans?
PositivelyMinnesota.com/veterans is the place that employers need to go and the place that veterans need to go to get hooked up.
I think I've heard that before. PositivelyMinnesota.com/veterans.
Yes, sir.
Jim, thanks for taking time to come down to the studio and join us on this Memorial Day.
Thanks, Tom.
That was Jim Finley from the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development. Coming up next, we're going to talk to the senior enlisted advisor, the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, on this Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Welcome back to the Memorial Day edition of the Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, along with my special co-host for the day, Brigadier General Neil Lloyd Holt. And joining us now from the Minnesota National Guard is the senior enlisted advisor to the Adjutant General, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg.
Welcome morning, to the Tom. Show. Morning. It's nice to be here.
Thanks for coming down to visit with us this morning. For those listeners out there that might not be familiar with it, can you explain what a Command Sergeant Major does?
Sure. As the senior enlisted advisor, I'm the principal advisor to the Adjutant General on all issues affecting the enlisted force, both the Army and the air side. Those things include training and morale and welfare, readiness, everything from performance to care and conduct, appearance, and effective personnel utilization and management.
And Sergeant Major, I understand you're the first female state command Sergeant Major in the Minnesota National Guard.
That's correct. It's a great honor.
We've been talking over the course of the last year several times about the expanding role of women in the military. It's pretty exciting, isn't it?
It is. And we have the Women in Service Review that recently came out as well, expanding the role even more. So that's very exciting.
You've been in this position since last fall?
Yes, October.
And I understand your travel schedule has been really busy.
It has, but it's been great.
Can you tell us some of the things you've been doing?
Sure. I've been out visiting soldiers and doing a lot of visits with wounded warriors and going all over the state. What I found is we have an organization of soldiers and airmen that are really focused and dedicated to making a difference, whether that's in their own communities or across Minnesota or across the world if needed. We have really professional, highly educated, combat-proven warriors. And obviously, you know that one of the challenges across our force right now, as we heard in the last segment, is employment. And so we've been working with that quite a bit.
Employment is the hot issue right now with the Red Bulls having come back. But as Jim Finley told us, it's all veterans, active duty, reserve, guard. And we have a particularly good group of Red Bull soldiers coming back with some great experience, don't we?
Oh, we do. They have experience that any employer across Minnesota would really like to have. You know, obviously they have global experience and multicultural experience. They're very tech savvy. They're fast learners, proven leaders. What organization wouldn't want an employee like that?
And Sergeant Major, we've got the privilege today. We've got the State Command Sergeant Major in the studio, and we also have the Director of the Joint Staff, who serves as the primary advisor to the Adjutant General. You two must have a busy schedule helping out the General Nash.
We do. It takes quite a few people to keep things running.
Yeah, quite a few people indeed, Tom. But I would note that my travel schedule has not taken me to Reno, Nevada and places like that. In fact, my travel schedule takes me to Camp Ripley more often than not.
And it brings you over here to the studio,
and
too.
To the studio, yes, indeed.
Sergeant Major, you were just at a conference in Nevada. Can you tell us about it?
Absolutely. It was a diversity conference put on by the National Guard Bureau. And the theme for the conference was In Pursuit of Greatness Through Diversity. It was a great conference, really highlighting the fact that with our ever-changing missions, the success of the National Guard really depends on the contributions from every man and woman who volunteered to join our force. It was very fascinating to see how diversity is really a force multiplier and maximizes our potential. And it impacts mission readiness, which is important. Although one of our goals with diversity is to be able to mirror the demographics of the communities from which we come and whom we serve, diversity is really much more than race and ethnicity and gender, and finding out everything that diversity includes was really fascinating. We looked at diversity of thought and experience and education, background, skill set. Viewing diversity, seeing our differences, is really our greatest advantage, is something that was very fun.
So it sounds like, Sergeant Major, the diversity is the makeup of the force, the training of the force, probably the future readiness status of the force, and what is the mission going to be in the next 10 years? The last 10 years certainly have been exciting and busy.
They have. We really have to capitalize on the skills and talent of everyone in the force. And that's really what diversity is about, tapping into that skill set that we have throughout the entire force.
We're speaking with the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg, on this Memorial Day of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. General, I'm curious. I've been over to the headquarters a number of times. We've got the Adjutant General. You're the Director of Joint Staff. We've got the Sergeant Major. We've got Colonel Jensen. You've got quite a staff over there. And when you're on a war footing, when you had the 1st Brigade overseas, things clip along at a pretty rapid rate, I would guess.
They do, and it's important to have good players, but it's also important that everybody knows what they're supposed to do. And so while we want to make sure that we don't singularly focus on our own tasks and we understand what everybody's up to, our team works best when everybody plays their part. Everybody worries about their own particular role and then comes together to accomplish the objective.
And Sergeant Major, when I was in the service, before you were born probably, when we came back, they just let us loose and we were gone. But we've talked on this program a lot over the last year and a half about the Beyond the Yellow program and all the support that's there for the families of deployed troops. And, of course, the when we ask the deployed troops, how can we help you, their answer is, help take care of my family. It's things have come a long way in the last 40 years, and that's been a very important part of your mission to support those families, hasn't it?
It really has. I think we've learned a lot over the last 10 years being deployed so many times, how to really do reintegration well. And many of our soldiers and airmen have been deployed multiple times, and so their families are very used to the reintegration process and then deploying again. However, we have found that every deployment is different, and every time you come back, the reintegration is different. Your children are different ages. Your marriage is in a different place. Your civilian job is in a different place. And so it's really important that we go through the entire reintegration process each time a soldier or airman returns. I think it really helps the family and the airman readjust.
You know, Sergeant Major, one of the things you might comment on is as we leave this war footing and return to our bases primarily, I guess we could describe it as that, there'll be a need to return to standards that have made the Army so strong and allow it to survive as long as it has. And Sergeant Major of the Army has been, you know, out in public recently talking about some of this return to the standard. Maybe you might mention a little bit about his approach, but also what your approach will be in Minnesota.
I know his approach is to get really back to tradition and standard of what has happened in the past. When the organization went to combat for 10 years in a row, things change a little bit, and so your standards have to change too. But now that we're mostly back in garrison, we have to look at getting back to where we were. What I'm trying to do is to concentrate on two things specifically, professionalism being one of them. So professionalizing the NCO Corps again. Our soldiers and airmen joined the Minnesota National Guard, many of them joining during a time of war, because they wanted a few things. They wanted to make a difference. They wanted to do something that was important. They wanted to be part of something bigger than themselves. And I think we have an obligation to give them that, and professionalism is one of the ways that we do that. When we ensure their enlisted forces professionalism, we honor the rich traditions of our predecessors. We really try to encourage esprit de corps, which is really going to build the units, and it boosts motivation and engagement. We want to demand that our soldiers and airmen achieve their full potentials. And so we do that by setting some really high standards. We have some uncompromising values. The Army and the Air Force both have their own set of values, which are very close to each other. But those are uncompromising. We want to make sure that our soldiers and airmen feel pride in the profession. And we want to create our legacy in the lineage of greatness from the Minnesota National Guard.
And Sergeant Major, just one follow-up. You talked about the reintegration program. We've learned from Jim Finley, and we've learned from the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon discussions in the past that the returning service members go through a 30, 60, 90-day reintegration program. But now you've incorporated some things for employment, and you've helped the families retrain, and those who have been deployed come back, and the families have changed, and they've changed. So you're there helping them to reintegrate into their civilian mode.
Absolutely. And I think that a big help for us is a lot of the families who have done this before, they're helping some of the newer families who are going through this for the first time too. And having that camaraderie between the families, a lot of our families know each other and have done this before with other deployments. And so I think that's a really big help. You're talking to someone who's been there before and knows what you're going through, and that's really invaluable.
Sergeant Major, we're just about out of time. This is Memorial Day. Is there anyone special that you think about on this day?
There is. When we were in Basra, Iraq, we lost a soldier from our section, Major Tad Hervis. He died in Basra, Iraq in October 2009. He was in our intelligence section. And obviously, he is highly missed, and he will not be forgotten.
Sergeant Major, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to come visit with us this morning on this special edition of Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
I was a senior enlisted advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to this Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. I'm here with Brigadier General Neil Lloyd Holt. And for the last segment of the show, we just want to play a couple of brief clips from Colonel Kerska, the commander of the 1st Brigade Combat Team that was over in Kuwait. I understand you were on the last brigade truck out of Iraq.
I was. The convoys ended for us at 7:03 a.m. on 18th of December 2011. It was a great day for the brigade, Tom.
I'll bet there was a big sigh of relief. The last 30 days had to be a little worried and a little tense, and it sounds like we got everybody out safely.
Yeah, it was kind of emotional for me. It's kind of hard to explain. You know, we spent all night out there. We went out and made sure the route was clear. We sent out three platoons from 2 of the 135 Infantry to make sure that last half of the route was safe, was clear of the enemy. We kept it clear of the enemy all night long, and it was a long night out there in the dark and the cold, and thinking about the last, you know, different times in that area of my life, and, you know, thinking about the, I tried to name all the names in my head and see all the faces of those we lost, and it was kind of a long night, but a lot of pride, a lot of relief it was over, and but I guess pride was probably the biggest emotion. We hit that border. It was quite the feeling to know what we'd done, what we'd achieved. First time I was here, the Gulf War ended in roughly the exact spot of where we crossed that last convoy. We were within 30 miles of that same spot when the Gulf War ended in 1991, my particular company was. So to be in that same spot 21 years later and finally drawing it to a close, you know, and then we crossed the border, and, you know, there's quite a surprise. There's some of my soldiers that, unbeknown to me, they had my brigade colors flying there to greet us, and so I got to see that, them standing there at attention with the colors flying. We cleared our weapons, and then we kind of pulled over, and everybody looked at each other and kind of celebrated. I pulled a cigar out that I'd been saving and cut in half, and Sergeant Major and I shared a cigar, and it was neat to see the faces of all these young soldiers that had just gotten this done, and we put all those miles on, all that enemy activity, and we all got through it without significant injury. It was an awesome feeling.
General, a clip from Colonel Kurska, the commander of the 1st Brigade Combat Team, from the civilian sideline chair. It looks like that was a pretty successful deployment, and everything went pretty well.
It's incredibly successful, Tom. You know, the responsibility of the commander is great, and you could hear in Eric's voice both the previous strain but also the relief that he described at the end. And so I would just say we're very fortunate to have had Eric Kurska as the 1st Brigade Commander during this particular time of the war.
And his multiple deployments to that area gave him some special knowledge and got everybody's home safely, didn't it?
It certainly did. It might be that special knowledge about Iraq, but Eric Kurska is a good leader, and what all those experiences did was prepare him perfectly for this period of time.
General, the 3 hours have gone pretty quickly. We've been talking about Memorial Day and the origin and had some terrific special guests on today, and I didn't get around to asking you, do you have any special people you think about or special thoughts about Memorial Day for us?
I do, Tom. You know, as a kid, I knew veterans, but I didn't know anybody who died. And so initially, I didn't have that experience with respect to Memorial Day. But my dad's father served in World War II. Our neighbor, Rich, just barely survived Pearl Harbor. But then later, as the Vietnam experiences became more known, and it's not that they weren't there, as you know, it's just that they weren't talked about for a while. I learned, as Commissioner Sholto talked about folks in my own family who I didn't know served, and I had two cousins that served in Vietnam as well. But finally, over the last 10 years of war, as my service has progressed, I've come to remember those individuals that I know personally who were killed. And just this year, I'd like to remember our three great MPs who were killed in a rocket attack on July 16th in 2009, Specialists Carlos Wilcox, James Wordish, and Daniel Drevnik.
And since they're Minnesota National Guard soldiers, that makes it personal, doesn't it?
Indeed it does. And that's what makes it both a different experience, but it also makes it a positive experience on Memorial Day. As one of our guests, the clip, Mary Beth Crowley, said, don't forget what happens in war, because it's important to remember, because remembering is part of helping soldiers deal with the experience.
And she was there in very poignant remarks. And of course, I alluded to earlier when I was in D.C. and went to the Vietnam Memorial Wall, was personal for me. And I'm afraid I was a puddle remembering some old buddies. But that's part of it. You have to remember. You have to let it go, so to speak.
I agree. I think that the act of remembering, the act of having the exact experience that you described at the war is in fact a way to honor those who aren't able to do that, because they did give their last full measure. And I think Commissioner Sholto said it well when he said, you know, those veterans who are still able to cannot keep their secrets, because it's in the current veterans that we can be reminded of the sacrifice of those who are no longer here.
We're speaking with Brigadier General Neil Leutold from the Minnesota National Guard on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. General, I know you had some further thoughts about this special day to remember those who have given their all in service of our country.
I'd just like to remind folks, Tom, of what the governor said, namely that freedom isn't free and that it requires the sacrifice of a nation. I'd also mention to the listeners, if I could, just a reminder from previously about the National Moment of Remembrance. It's today, 3 p.m. local time. You don't have to dedicate your entire day today to those who served. You certainly can if you want, but at a minimum, if you can take that time that's set aside to be able to remember, that would be greatly appreciated by all who continue to serve.
General, we've got about a minute left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Well, just one last thing. Thank you. I think as we remember those who have given their last full measure during this day of somber reflection, it's also important for us to remember the need for service, because it is so important to the country. Less than 1% serve. Tom, service, I think, is the rent that you owe for living in this great nation. And I would encourage those who are considering service to do so now. We need great Americans in military service now just as much as we ever have in the past.
General, it's been great having you here today as a co-host on Minnesota Military Radio. Hope to have you back on sometime soon.
Thank you, Tom. I don't know if it'll be soon, but hopefully I'll be back sometime.
The 3 hours went pretty quick, didn't they?
Indeed it did.
We're going to go back and end the show. This is kind of the same way we opened it, with a special message from the chaplain from the Minnesota National Guard, Colonel John Morris.
This is Chaplain John Morris. I'm the state chaplain for the Minnesota Guard. And as we celebrate Memorial Day, I'm reminded of President Ronald Reagan's comment when he was president, as he addressed the nation on Memorial Day and noted that for every fallen hero that we remember today, we remember the two deaths that they suffered, the death and the loss of the life that they had, and the death and the loss of the life that they would have had. As we pause today, I think of the 18 Minnesota Army National Guard soldiers that have died overseas in Bosnia, Afghanistan, and Iraq since 9/11. And I think of those things, the young lives that were lost as they sacrificed their lives in the service of our nation and our state, and the lives they would have had, the service they would have rendered to our society, the fathers they would have been, the productive citizens they could have been. And I remember the terrible price that freedom costs for its preservation. And so on this day, I'm somber. I'm gratified to have served with brave men and women who are willing to lay down their lives. And I lift up their families during this time of mourning. And I pray that all of us who have survived, who enjoy the fruits of freedom, will live a life worthy of the sacrifice, the double sacrifice that's been made by the million-plus veterans of America's wars to enable us to have the quality of life we have today. We're a blessed nation, and it's been purchased by the lives of brave young men and women. So today's their day. God bless them, their families, and the United States of America.
Thank you, Colonel Morris, and I hope all of our listeners will take a moment at 3 o'clock today to remember those who have served our military. I'd like to thank our guests today, Brigadier General Neil Leutholt, Governor Mark Dayton, Secretary of State Mark Ritchie, Commissioner Larry Shelado from the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Doug Bly, Dutch Cragen, Sam Fisher of Memorial Day Movie, Jim Finley, and Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg. For our listeners, if you'd like to subscribe to the normal show, please go to Minnesota Military Radio Hour and click on subscribe. And if you're not hearing our show out in your localities, talk to your local radio station and have them go to the MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and contact us. I'd also like to thank Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, for putting us on the air every week for the last year and a half, and for so graciously giving us this time on Memorial Day for the second year in a row to talk about our servicemen and women who have died in service of our country. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week. Thanks
You've
for
been listening
us.
To Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, Davis and Emmer this morning. Well, lots of stuff going on this morning, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's been a busy morning. The chickens took us off. That was a great interview, by the way, with Kurt Bills, currently Representative Kurt Bills, who was just endorsed last weekend at the state Republican convention to run for the United States Senate against presumably Amy Klobuchar next November.
Well, I think the real question in his campaign is going to be whether the religious, quote-unquote religious conservatives, are going to support a libertarian candidate. Some people don't believe they will, but, you know, they talked for years about how they needed to have unity when they ran their slates of candidates.
Absolutely.
And so now we're just going to have to see whether they do or not. And the same goes for the moderates, who will talk incessantly about how they have to have unity. But then they will say things like, well, Ron Paul could never win the presidency, which I actually agree with, by the way. but not because of his positions, but because of his age. And because I think the people in this country, I think the demographics of this country require a little bit younger candidate. So anyway, having said that, the real question now is whether these squishy moderates are going to really be true to their word. And that is to support a candidate who is perhaps a Liberty Slate candidate who is going to push on economic issues. The problem with all that is going to be how the left responds to it, because I'm telling you, they're going to come back with this debt sacrifice, debt, paying the debt and paying higher taxes is part of the sacrifice required for the society that we have created. And that if you want to be part of the society, you're going to have to sacrifice.
By the way, beware, because that will be a message by moderate Republicans and Democrats. And beware, beware, really, and independents. It will be, because they want us all to jump into their ship again. Here's the problem, is that, you know what, when the grassroots caucus system works for the, you know, I hate the term moderate Republican, but people who believe that these programs all make sense, that government beyond the
constitutional. We just have to scale back the size.
Yeah, they say things like bending the spending curve. When it works for them and their candidates, they want to participate, and then they get mad if the constitutional conservative, the libertarian-leaning Republican says, well, this isn't my candidate, all right? And it's, oh, my gosh, that's awful for you to say. And yet when you have a liberty candidate that gets endorsed, or a constitutional conservative, for lack of a better term, that is talking about literally cutting real spending and improving or expanding liberty, all of a sudden they don't want to show up.
Well, they actually are talking about, and they should be if they're not. And I didn't want to correct Marianne, and I didn't want to correct Kurt. But smaller government is not the argument. The government is too powerful. The federal government is too powerful. It is too involved in our lives. They have armed environmental police. They have armed police from the Department of Education. They're putting up drones. They are doing things they should not be doing. And it's time for people to start to say, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to cut this off. We're going to emphasize states' rights. We are going to stop sending money to Washington if Washington won't enforce certain laws that we pass. For example, SB 1070 in Arizona, where they passed a law to enforce the federal law that they weren't enforcing. They are running roughshod over the American people, and we're going to have to choose. And I mean, you know what? Some people who believe it's shared sacrifice and want to vote for being enslaved by the government, go vote for it. If you want more free stuff from the government, go vote for it, because they found a machine that creates wealth. They just keep printing money. It's called the Federal Reserve and or debt.
And you do that, and you'll keep giving away your freedom, and you'll ensure that your children will have and less of theirs.
Right, and then Mussolini or Stalin takes over.
Right.
And that's exactly where we're going with shared sacrifice, Tom Horner.
I can't believe we're done, man.
Twin
I'll see
Cities
you in the morning.
News Talk,
thanks for having me.
See you tomorrow, Tom.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking my call. Boom.